Session number 5868, Hortin Mundi, part 6.
I was talking then about the Derby scheme. Actually, I can't remember now what all the details of the Derby scheme was. But all I can talk, oh, blimey, there goes the old clock, that's half hour. I must know it, I think. Anyway, all I can recall is what actually happened to me. Now, as I said before, our head office was at Wolverton, and that was directly opposite the railway works. That was the old London and North Western Railway and Carriage Works. At that time, there was about 5,000 employed there and there. Today, it's still there, of course, with less than 2,000. Now, that recruiting office was opposite there. Now, if you remember, I told you how the people rushed to join the colours in 1914. Well, this Derby scheme that started then, it was very, very similar, because they used to come out of work and have the dinner. That was the time when they started work at 6 in the morning, and breakfast and dinner. Well, now, during the dinner hour, they used to come out of the works and line up on the pavement to join, quite a queue of them every day. So it must have been very similar to that which happened at the beginning of the war. I don't know, I can't seem to get going tonight at all. I don't know why. Perhaps I don't feel like it. But any road, I'll try and make effort and carry on. Now, as I said before, that was the headquarters at Wolverton, and I said they queued up to join, but why, I don't know. I can't at all grasp it somehow, why they joined, and yet why we were sent there to recruit. But what I do know is this. We went to Newport Pagnell, old Joe Scragg and I, Joe Cosby and I. We went to Newport Pagnell. We was in that office there. And I think I told you on the last tape that we gave them a chit for a shilling to spend. Well, now I've thought since that was not so. What really happened was, when they came, we was there in the morning to receive recruits, which they did. They came along to join this Derby scheme. And we was allowed to spend 1 shilling on each recruit as he come into that office and joined. Now, if he came from a, he sometimes came from outside, or he may not. But we was allowed to take that recruit out, if he so wished, to spend a shilling on him, which was a drink or anything, which we did use then, was the old rum at Newport Pagnell. We could take him there, or if there was 3 or 4 of them that came, they didn't know they was allowed that. But we used to go there, and old Bill Lovett has kept the ram at that time. Well, we used to take them there. We'd stand them half a pint of beer, and they'd have a chunch, lump of bread and cheese or something, and they thought we treated them to it, but we didn't. And then we used to give old Bill Lovett this chit. Used to make a chit out for him, for a recruit. And he used to put that in a glass behind the bar, and so carry on from that. And when we wanted any drink, We used to use one of those shilling chits. Well, the beer was tuppence a pint then, of course. Well, now, we used to travel around the district quite a lot. As I told you before, on that other side of the tape, we was allowed a penny a mile to travel. Well, now, there was quite a number of places we went to. Now, those that wouldn't join the Derby scheme, we had to hunt for them. And those that did come and sign up and join it often told us that you want to go and see so-and-so. He won't join. We know he won't join it. And that happened very often. Now, just for a few cases, I'll quote just a few cases. Now, there was one person had got a son. I went to see him, and the parents said, well, he's a very, very clever lad. He's good at school, he's classic, he's won so honours and so forth in those days, which is not comparable today. And he'd like to be a draftsman, a good job as a draftsman when he's called up, which you would be called up naturally from the Derby scheme. He said he wants to be a draftsman. I says, oh, that'll be all right. So he says, will you see that he gets a job as a draftsman when he joins? I says, oh, yes, yes, I'll see to that. But I don't know why I'd ask. The poor devil were killed in the infantry rifle brigade or something. But anyway, that was the routine. Well, now, directly opposite to the Ram was a well-known pork butcher's, Pettit's by name in those days. I don't know whether the old shop's still there. I believe it is. A butcher's shop straight opposite the Ram. Well, he'd got a son, and naturally I went and saw him. I said, now how about your boy signing one of these forms for the Derby scheme? Well, he said, do you think you can, do you think you could forget him? I said, I don't know. I said, he should sign, you know. I said, he should do. Well, he said, what do you like for dinner? He said, well, what would you like for dinner? Oh, and by the way, old Bill at the Ram, we used to have our dinner there every day. The Ram, the pub on the corner, opposite to the pork butcher shop. And Bill Lovett, he used to cook a lovely dinner. And of course he took the money out of the chits we used to put in the behind the bar for him in the glass. We used to have a good dinner every day. So old Pettit, the butcher opposite side the road, he'd say, what are you having today? What are you having today? What are you having today? Is what Bill cooking for you today? So I don't know. He said, would you like a nice pork chop? Would you like a nice pork chop? He used to splutter like that, you know. So I said, yeah, they're very nice, very nice. So he used to cut us two slabs of pork chops off for old Joe and myself. Oh, about an inch thick, you know, the best cut of pork. Oh, bloom, beautiful. So used to pop across the road back, and I used to get old Bill Lover. I used to slap them on the pan for us for dinner today. All right, boy, he said, that'll be all right. Well, now, that's how things used to happen. Now, then, just one or two little tales. I tell you this one, it was very laughable. Well, because we used to go out, as I told you, this penny a mile on the bike. We used to travel quite a distance, various places. Well, on this particular one occasion, we went to a village, I think it was called Chichley Village. It's the other side of Newport Pagnell. And they'd got a village hall there. And it was just a village, and practically the whole of the village were farm labourers kicking about. And we went there, and it was afternoon. We used to get back to Wolverton to report back, finish of the day, about 5 o'clock time. Well, I went in the afternoon, old Joe and I, and saw one or two here and there in the village, and someone told us, they said, oh, you want to go to the village hall tonight? They get there, you know, for a sort of a bit of a do in the village hall. You want to get there tonight? So, it's all right. So I said to old Joe, I said, oh, well, I said, we can't get back tonight. I said, they want us to go and talk to these chaps in this village hall. So we went, and pubs open all day, naturally. So we went and had a drink or two in the pub in the village. So I said to old Joe, I says, I'll ring up, I forget the bloke's name in charge of Wolverton, or the, what do you call it? Oh, never mind. I said, I'll go and ring him up and tell him that we shan't be back at 5 o'clock, or the recruiting officer. I said, we shan't be back at 5. I said, we're meeting the chaps in the village hall at Chichley tonight and have a talk to them, see if we can persuade them to sign the forms. So he said, all right. That I went down to a big house somewhere, I don't know where the hell it was, but it was a large house in the village anyway, well-to-do, big house. And, well, I stopped gassing to those people in this house in the evening, it was getting on a bit. So I went back to this village hall. Oh, blimey. When I got in there, there was a hell of a shouting and hollering. So I went in, I said, what's up? Old Joe said, oh, hell, kitty, geez, I'm glad you come. I said, what? He said, oh, blimey, he said, they're going to throw me in the pond. I said, hell, what'd you do then? Anyway, I calmed them down and had a chat with them and told them the tale, you know. But evidently, old Joe, he couldn't help it. I think somebody upset him and, you know, he was trying to tell them how nice it was in the army and that, and they upset Joe, said, because, you know, he couldn't help it. He said, well, he said, it's time you buggers were there long ago. That sort of talk. Well, of course, they were going to throw Joe in the pond, but that was only one little tale. Well, now, here's another little tale. I told you, of course, before, the farther you went on your old bike, the more pennies you got. Well, we were tipped off about a farmer, biggest farmer, at Woolston. Well, that was some distance from Newport Pagnell. We used to go to the villages, of course. Well, this was some distance from Newport, Woolston was, and we were tipped off about this farmer. He got a big strapping son that was, oh, you know, I have nothing to do with the war. And away we went. Well, I got to Woolston, I went to this farm, and farmer was there. I went in, he called me in. Poor old Joe, well, poor old Joe, he stood outside, and farmer took me into his sitting room, and we had a chat. Of course, I'd got my forms in my pocket for him to sign, and he said, well, he said, would you like a drink? I said, yeah. So we sat at the table near the window. Poor old Joe was outside. And this farmer brought a jar, old-fashioned stone jar, whiskey, full of whiskey. And he totted it out and he explained that would it be possible if, you know, if I could leave it for a time? I said, oh, no, no. So, no, I said, they're all joining, they're all signing these forms now. I said, he can't get out of it. I said, I don't know what would happen, I said. If conscription comes in, I said, they'll grab him. I said, but according to this scheme, I said, he might miss it even to the end of the war, I said. You've got to look at it from that point of view. So, he said, well, he said, How if he don't fill it in? I said, oh no, he should do, but he kept totting it out. Poor old Joe stood outside looking through the window. Well, but when I came out, I'd got the forms in me pocket, but I hadn't got his signature, and how the hell I got back to Newport on me bike, I don't know. But old Joe said, well, he said, I'm buggered if I know, he said. There was you, scoffing whiskey, and I was standing outside and couldn't get a drink at all. He said, you are, well, I said, could you, I said. What you've got to realise, I said, you're only a private, and I'm a Lance Corporal, I said, so I'm your gaffer. It was a laugh, really. Hello. Well, I'll carry on now where I left off last night. It was getting towards the end of the summer of 1915. And Joe and I returned back to the camp in the park at High Wycombe. Now, whilst we was away, Charlie Watson and Cherry Hill, the two that I've mentioned to you before, had gone away to the to the OTC. And so held quite high ranks in other regiments, not the books, in other regiments. Well, now, some of those in the tent, whilst we was away, had been discharged. And many, many years later, 10, 11, perhaps 12 years later, Charlie Watson came to see me after I was married and settled down, and he came to Wolverton to try and find me. He went to the police station and got the names and got the addresses of all people living in Wolverton with my name. And eventually he found my brother. And because he gave him my address, he came down to see me. And oh, we did have a lovely reunion, talking about olden days and so forth. And by then, he was a very successful architect at Beaconsfield. Now, Cherry Hill, the other one, Cherry. Now, he done very well. They both came through the war. As a matter of fact, I think Cherry finished up a colonel, but they came through the war together. But true to form, he was telling me that Cherry, when he went on holiday after the war to the seaside, he swam out. I think he tried to go to America or something, but anyway, the poor old boy ended up, he was drowned. Now, I don't know what they put on his stone afterwards, but I know what they should have put, that he was a real Englishman. Well, now, old Charlie and I, we had a long chat about all sorts of things of the olden days. Now, I'll drift back now to those tents in the park at High Wycombe. As I said, some of them had gone that I knew, but what I forgot to tell you, or for what I got to put, forgot to put on tapes, and I've thought since, all the tapes that I've made, I've never mentioned the fact that the territorials pre-war was formed, I'm sure I'm right, was formed for home defence only. Now I'll tell you for why, it crossed my mind. Before we went abroad, the beginning of 1915, I remember Captain Birchall, it applied to the old battalion. Captain Birchall had us all on parade some weeks before we went abroad, and told us that we'd all got to volunteer to go on active service. Should anyone not wanting to go, would they step forward? No one stepped forward. I remember no one. Well, we had a photograph taken, and we went back then, and we had to do just, it was very close before we went, because we went on one or two very, very two tough, hard marches, and there were several that fell out. Well, I remember afterwards that they had a medical exam, anyone that was doubtful at all. Well, there was quite a number, several, that was really old men when they was in the territorials. Well, those were sorted out and kept behind. Now, what I'm going to get at is this. I told you that battalion, or those troops at High Wycombe, was formed. Well, these old boys, many of them NCOs, by the way, that didn't go abroad when we went, they were sent there to train these new recruits. Well, because the time went on then while we was there, winter began to come on, and we had to go then into billets in the town of High Wycombe. Well, there was one of those chaps from New Bradwell that had been left behind at Chelmsford, and he was there. He was there as a sergeant. Now, we was asked, or I was asked, and he was the same, we was both told to go and book up billets in High Wycombe for the troops to stay in the winter. And him and I went round. We went round the streets. Well, now, he was a married man, and he got one or two small children, so I won't give his name. But he was a bit of a card. Anyway, we went along these different streets, and he said to me, he said, "Now, let's wait," he said, "and till we get to a nice posh street," he said, "and then we'll book up for both of us together." Well, of course, he went up one side of the road, I was the other side of the road, and each house you went to, of course, you asked, could they accept one or two of the troops for the time being? And it was not all that difficult. Very often, very seldom anyone refused, so it didn't take all that long to get the whole lot booked in. Well, now, oh, I'll have to remind you of this, what sort of a card he was. He said, "Let's wait till we get to a posh street." I said, "All right." Well, before we started along this posh street, he said, "Kid," he said, "have a look well along the passage, along the hall." He said, "And if you see any girls' hats hanging there," he said, "book us in." And I thought, what a game. But anyway, I shouted across to him, and I found out there were several hats hanging on the peg in the passage, and I shouted across the road, I said, "Dick," I called him his proper name, I said, "Dick, I said, would you like to join me and stay here, this lady in the house?" And she said, "Yes," she says, "I'll have to." And of course then old Dick said, "Yeah." So I told this lady, I said, would you like to accept the sergeant over the road and myself?" "Oh yes," she said. And poor old Dick, it wasn't the sort of house he was looking for, because we had a lovely lodge there for the time. Well, of course, as time went on, Christmas arrived, and us expeditionary force chaps had a Princess Mary Christmas gift. It's a brass box. But all those that had been abroad prior to Christmas 1916 received a Christmas gift from Princess Mary, And as a matter of fact, I've still got it. Well, time carried on. We went from there just after Christmas. Went to there to Burnham-on-Sea. Now, that was not too bad at all. It was rough winter weather, of course. And we used to do drill training on the sands there. And that carried on quite comfortable. We had a jolly good lodge there. We had a nice lodge straight along the front, opposite the pier. I have a short pier, or used to then. And we had a jolly good lodge there until just after Christmas. And then I was sent abroad again. Now, I think I must be getting very close to the end of this tape. Now, if that is so, I'll continue on the next tape and tell you then as we went abroad.